Good morning. This is Brother Philip Gillenbeck, and we are broadcasting live from Guthrie. We would sure appreciate an agreement of prayer for the Word of God to be effectual this morning. Father in heaven, we humble our hearts before you this morning. Lord, we know your Word is powerful and sharp, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, we need your Word in our lives. We're asking you today, O God, that you would make your word alive and real to every one of us, Lord. Let it divide between things in our lives, Lord, that it needs to divide between. Let it be an inspiration to us, we pray. Father, bless every heart that's closed in today, that's lonely, that's wishing for the ability to get out and gather together. I ask you to bless this morning, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we want to start by reading the lyrics of a song in our hymnal, number 105, There's Power in the Blood of Jesus. And I'm thinking about the blood. Some in today's world see that as an old thing that needs to be done away with. But without the power of the blood and without the significance that it offers to us as people, we are hopeless. I want to look at scriptures this morning and look at our situation as people in this world. The song says, there's power in the blood to save from sin. I've been thinking about this thought of the blood for several months now. And I'm glad for this morning to have a chance to study a little bit about the power of the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood, it says, to save from sin, to bring the peace of God where guilt hath been. A new and happy life will then begin. There's power in the blood of Jesus. The refrain goes like this, there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus to save the soul today, wash every sin away. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Verse 2 says, there's power in the blood today, I see. As when he set the palsied sinner free, and now his saving grace extends to me. There's power in the blood of Jesus. No righteousness of ours, verse 3, can e'er avail, but through the Lamb of God we shall prevail. There's power in his blood, all else will fail. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood for our release. There's power in the blood to bring soul peace. The merits of his blood will not decrease. There's power in the blood of Jesus. You know, when we think of the blood of Jesus and why it was shed and why it was needed, we have to think about sin. Sin in God's eyes is an awful thing. It separates man, and it created a huge chasm between God and man. And we think about the awful penalty that God has put upon sin. I think about Cain. You know, he was the first one besides Adam and Eve that we have on record that sinned, that did exactly what God told him not to. And we find here in Genesis 4 and 12 and 13, God put on Cain this awful judgment. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. You know, Cain came to God because he had murdered his brother. And then God came to Cain, actually, and began to speak with him. And Cain was angry. Cain wanted to come to God with on his own terms. He wanted to come to God and bring to him a bargain. Here is my vegetables. But God, clearly, there is a price for sin, and that price is blood. The God of heaven said it so. And so what can we say? God is the one that set that. And that's the price of divine justice. God required a sacrifice of blood. Cain offered a sacrifice of vegetables. or fruits, whatever it was. You know, I look at that picture and I think how many times this is played over. You think about David. David got caught up in himself one time, and he numbered the soldiers of Israel. Maybe his heart began to trust in the strength God had given him instead of God himself. Maybe there was pride. For whatever reason, David wanted to know, how strong are we? Well, God wanted David to know something else. All your sufficiency is in me. He wants us to know that too. God really wants there to be a relationship of trust, an element of closeness that he had with Adam and Eve to begin with, and God longs for that in his people. And so David swerved from that, and he numbered the people. And I want to read here in 1 Chronicles 21, starting verse 7 and 8. It says here, "And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." How often that has been played out in history and perhaps in our own lives, hasn't it? You know, we ourselves offended God at one time or another. All of us have. And there is a price for that. We read on in starting down at the 16th verse here in this same story. "And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God," I'll skip on down to verse 18. Get the picture. God was punishing David. He was punishing Israel. And we see David looked up and saw the angel. It must have been a magnificent sight when he saw the angel and his sword stretched out over Jerusalem. I don't think that was any small thing. It had to be a tremendous picture that David saw. And so going on down now to verse 18, it says here, "Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David," Gad was a prophet of the Lord, "that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite." Now, I don't know why God chose this, but he did. "And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel and his four sons with him, hid themselves." Now Ornan was threshing wheat. Now this man that had the threshing floor, he also saw the picture, didn't he? Can you imagine what he saw there? The angel in the sky with his sword stretched out over Jerusalem? It must have been a terrifying sight. And so they hid themselves. I want us to think about a little bit about what we are up against, folks. If we live in sin, we are up against the divine wrath of God. That's what we are up against. And this was just in this life. This was just simply the sword drawn out over Jerusalem that they were seeing, and it had been devouring in Israel. But you think about what the picture in Revelation 6 and verse 15 speaks of the final judgment. And it says, "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Folks, that's what we are up against. If we live in sin, and it's not repented of, we're up against the wrath of God. And how are we going to take care of that? Who of us can say, "I'm going to bargain with God"? Cain tried that. And he tried that. He tried to make his offering his way. And today, the world is full of our own way, isn't it? But there is a better way this morning. And God made that. But I want to come back now for a moment to 1 Chronicles 21 and 26. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord. You know, David did just what he should have done. He came back, he repented, and he offered offerings to the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. You know, God, it appears, came down with fire and consumed his sacrifice. What a story. What a way. And God received that. Now, even at that, there was a great distance between David and God. God dwelt in the temple there. He allowed that place as a place where people could come and pray. And he was in the Holy of Holies. He made his habitation there for the children of Israel. And they came there, and we find that there was a curtain there. David could not go through that curtain. David could not come into the presence of God because there was still an unfinished work in David's heart. There was something there that must be purged before David could be into the presence of the Lord. And you know, we see here that God set the price for divine justice, for disobedience. Blood sacrificed was the price. The blood of bulls and goats could never truly clean the soul. Do you know that they offered that and God forgave them, but it couldn't clean the soul. It couldn't do what needed to be done or truly satisfy the divine justice. God forgave them. He overlooked that. But folks, there was something so much better. You know, when the Israelites came out of the land of Egypt, and they were bondmen there. They were slaves in the land of Egypt. And we see them there under all kinds of terrible taskmasters and slave. Their slaveholders made them kill their children. That was a terrible bondage. Can you imagine being under that? Folks, today it's a lot like that. And so I want to think about this morning the blood of bulls and goats. And we could go on for a long time with the many scriptures and thoughts and things in the scripture that the blood of bulls and goats, folks, it could only do so much. It could never do what God really wanted done. But there was a lamb. There was one lamb that could be sacrificed that would satisfy the divine justice. And do you know, that was his son. He loved us with a love that sent his son to bear what our sins, the very price that our sins required. He sent his son to be the propitiation, it says. He sent his son to be that one that stood in our place at the cross. When some of us, I've never murdered anybody, but some have, and still, he paid the price for it. He paid the price to satisfy the divine justice. And now we, through faith in his name, have all kinds of opportunity to enter into the presence of the Lord. We have the opportunity, as the song said, to be saved from sin. You know, only through the blood of Christ could that happen. We have the opportunity. It talks about here, there's no righteousness of ours can e'er avail, but through the Lamb of God we shall prevail. Verse 2, we read, where there's power in the blood today, I see, as when he set the palsied sinner free. Do you know, he paid a price that includes so many things for us. The healing of our bodies. How many times have we come to the Lord and he has healed? How many times have we come to the Lord and he has renewed our strength? And who hasn't had to come to the Lord and repent of their sins and be cleansed and live a new life? That all comes through the Lord. And so I want to look a little bit And I hope and I pray and I've been praying and pleading for a couple of months that the Lord would make this alive and real in our souls. The blood of Jesus, folks, is of tremendous value in our lives. And I hope and pray that we can get a hold of something this morning that will cause a change in our life. A few months ago, the Lord seemed to inspire this to me in a way I have never received before. And it has had great power in it. There's power in the blood for the things that we need. There's power in the blood that brings us in a place where we can come before the almighty presence of God. Who could come before God? Who could come before God and say, "Here, I want to pay for my sin. I'd like to be at one with you again." We couldn't do it. We don't have enough to do it, do we? Everything we have, He gave us, even our own life. So we want to turn to Matthew 27 and verse 57, or verse 27 and verse 27. And read a little here. It says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe." Folks, the scripture says he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Or sheep, how does it say that? He was led innocently. He had no sin. He had done no sin ever. And yet he was led to that place. Take the place of those of us who had. It says then he was led. "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him." Now, do you know they beat him too? They beat him unmercifully. And he paid this price, folks, that we might live. That we might live. And I pray, God, this morning that our faith would take in, that through faith in the blood of Jesus, we can live. Through faith in the blood of Jesus, folks, we can have our healing in so many ways. Addictions, physical ailments, needs, sins. The Lord came to pay a price for all of that. And He paid an awful price. This was not someone among us. This was the Son of God who came to be among us. And so, when we come to the Lord, God of heaven, folks, this is the God that made and created the heavens and the earth. I've come to know Him. I know it's true. And I want to encourage us today that we come pleading the blood of Jesus. The blood. Father in heaven, I come. I plead the blood of Jesus. I have access to Your throne because the blood of Jesus opened the door. Lord, I come to You with our great need here. Because of the blood of Jesus, and I plead that blood. Do you know the Lord wants us to get a hold of that this morning? Plead the blood of Jesus. Realize and recognize it was shed for you, for your benefit. "And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink." Folks, he wanted to pay the full price. And he didn't, I don't know altogether all why, but I believe the Lord didn't want to be numbed at all. He wanted to pay the full price. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." Do you know, For centuries, people spoke of this by the Spirit of the Lord. It was a mystery that without knowing what the full mystery was, they weren't able to fully understand. It was a mystery. But God, in time, brought it to pass, didn't he? Okay, and 37, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." They already had plenty of witness, didn't they? Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save." Is this true? He couldn't save himself? Didn't he say something about calling 12 legions of angels if he would have wanted? But he didn't do that, did he? He stayed on the cross, not because he couldn't come down, but because he had a job to do, folks, and that was to pay for our sins, that we might be reunited with God in a way that cleanses us, that cleans our inside, that makes us able to come into the presence of God and stand and have a conversation with the God of heaven. That could only be done by the blood of his Son. Thank the Lord this morning. He cared for us that much. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is to say, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" God let him bear this and feel forsaken. He wasn't forsaken, but God stood back and let him bear all the pain. He let him bear all the woe for us. I hope that we can recognize today the love that God has for us. That he sent his Son to shed blood, folks, that the whole relationship might be repaired completely. That we might be at one with God again. And that we might be cleansed. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried, saying, and we go on, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And listen to what it says here, folks. This is significant. "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain." It was rent in two, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. This is the most significant thing, perhaps, ever in the history of mankind. Jesus' death, his resurrection, the sending of the Holy Spirit back. Folks, these three things is what changes our hope completely. And so we want to look at that and realize that there was a scene there that I've been totally inadequate to really give to us this morning. Because there was anguish, there was pain, there was blood. It was a bad night for the flesh. It was a bad night for the apostles. Where was their hopes now? What had happened? Their Lord was dead. And what were they going to do? All their hopes were that this was the Christ. Well, there's more to come, isn't there? And perhaps we'll talk more about that next week, the resurrection, of course. But in 1 Peter 1 and 18 and 19, it says, "Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Folks, redeemed means bought back. We were brought back to that place with God, not with anything we owned or had or gave, but with the precious blood of Christ. And I hope this morning that our vision of what Christ did for us and the blood that he shed for us can come alive in our lives. Lord, let your blood be applied by faith in my heart. Let your blood be applied to the situations of my life. That you shed that I might come before the Father, Lord, I plead that blood. I plead that place, that audience with God himself, because that blood was shed. Listen to this in Romans 5 and 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Don't we know that there is every part of our life, every need that we have, God is there to fulfill all things, as Scripture says, and to help us in all things in our life. And so, by faith in his blood, we have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This sacrifice that has been offered was worthy. God accepted it. It was the price of blood. But it doesn't have to be offered every year as the blood of bulls and goats was offered and sheep and all of those things. The Passover every year. Once for all, Jesus went into that place, didn't he? And he paid that price. And now we can live. We can live because of that. To actually purge us from our sins. You know, he only forgave those sins before, but now he can and will purge us from our sins. Clean us from our sins. Change our heart. Change our nature. Oh, how the Lord wants to do that. And to make us be able to stand innocently before the throne of the Majesty on high. Do you know when we come before the Lord, the Scriptures tell us to come boldly before his presence. He wants us to do that because he wants us to be, of course we come humbly, but come with assurance. Come knowing the God of heaven loves this. He wants this. He paid a great price for this morning. In our book is another song, number 505, that goes like this. "Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood." Folks, it's there for us. If we don't receive it, it's not because it hasn't been bought, paid for. We can be redeemed and bought back and changed by the power of God. It is the word of the Lord this morning. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. That's the refrain there. Verse 2 says, "Would you be free from your passion and pride?" There's things that really in the flesh we can hardly be completely free from. It takes the blood of Jesus. It takes power. And that's what Christ came to bring to us today. Lord, inspire our faith. Lord, increase our belief that you are able to lift us out, to make us live as proper representatives of your people, to make us live in a way that you can look on with pleasure and with joy this morning. Would you be free from your passion and pride? We read, there's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. Oh, I've just been pleading the blood. Pleading the blood. Lord, you see this one over here needs help. Father in heaven, I have an audience with you because of the blood of Jesus. I plead that blood. I need that blood applied to this situation by faith. In the name of Jesus, folks, in the price he paid, in the power that he has, by that kind of faith, we can have many wonderful blessings from the Lord. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? Third verse. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. Verse 4, would you do service for Jesus your King? You know, Isaiah, we read that here not long ago. Isaiah, when he saw the Lord, oh, he said, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips. And he had sin in his heart and life. And you know, the Lord purged his sin, didn't he? And then what was the next thing? Who will go for us? Here am I, send me. You know, there was a change in his life at that time. And so it says here, will you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. I want to go back a little, just a little more here. And read a few other places about this separation and about what God wants to do about it. Isaiah 59 and 2. It says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You know that meeting in person. It says your sins have hid his face from you. You're not able to see him. You're not able to behold him. Not able to have faith in him or walk with him. Because it says your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. God wants to reveal himself in person to us. He wants to reveal his thoughts and his power in our lives. And God wants to do that. He told Moses one time, he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. But you know, I have to believe there was something in man that was received in the fall that wasn't able to stand in the presence of God. And so how could a man live if he beheld God? But I believe the Lord wants us to come before his presence. I believe he wants us to be in his presence and hear his voice. I know we don't physically see his face. Isaiah 1 and 15 to 20. Just want to enlarge a little more on this thing of how important it is, folks, that we put away our sins and that we let the blood wash us. And when ye spread forth your hands, verse 15, Isaiah 1, I will hide mine eyes from you. Now wait a minute. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Now we often hear this voice, this scripture quoted, but not so often with the others with it in context. So it says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know, Isaiah spoke prophetically all through Isaiah. He's speaking of another day, isn't he? And so I don't know how much this applied to them. I'm sure it did. But you know, it especially applies to us, doesn't it? Yeah. The Lord wants to cleanse. And so he said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Do you know this morning, sin is an awful thing in the sight of God. I want to say that again. Sin is an awful thing in the sight of God. That is why he sent his son to pay such an awful price. Otherwise, the blood of bulls and goats, money, a sacrifice, maybe that would suffice. But it couldn't do that. Because he is a holy God. He is a God that cannot even lie. And yet, we see there was such a chasm between God and man. He sent his son to set that right. And so I want to read a scripture or two here of hope for us in Hebrews 10 and 16 to 20. Hebrews 10. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. That was said in the Old Testament. And we find it coming, we find it having come true in the new. And he said, I'll make this covenant with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. What laws is he talking about? I thought he did away with the law. Folks, he's going to put them in our hearts. We're not going to murder anymore because, one thing, it's not going to be in our heart. Another thing, God said it. He said so. He told us not to do it. And so we don't only not do that, we don't lie. We don't cheat. We don't steal. Folks, God can help us with our life. He said, I'll make a covenant with you after those days. I'm going to put my laws in your heart, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Do you know this morning, we noted the significance a while ago, the great significance that the veil was split from bottom to top. You know what was behind that veil? That place that no man could go into except the high priest once a year. That place that he had to come before God and wash and cleanse and all of these things to come before his presence. And he could only do that once a year. But here, listen to what it says. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We have that access because we can plead the blood of Jesus, folks. God has opened that door for us by a new and living way. No longer is it just a bunch of old sets of laws and commandments. Folks, he writes it in our heart. He changes our desires. He changes our ways. And he says, by a new and living way. Living way doesn't mean we don't have any temptations still, but folks, he changes who we are. And it says, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And now there is a veil between Christ, between God and us. That is Christ, isn't it? He is our access. He is our door. And so actually, there is not a separation anymore. We come and we plead the blood of Jesus and we can enter into the Most High. That holy place not made with hands, where the holy presence of God dwells. Folks, God wants it to be so. Can it be so in your life? Sure it can. But Isaiah said another place, Lord, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? The report is that we can know the Lord, and He will give us a new and living way, a new heart. He said, I'll give you a new heart. He'll change that. I talked to a man one time, and he said, you know what the problem is? And he quoted, Jeremiah 31, one of the chapters back there, where it talks about the heart of man being exceeding sinful. You know, and he said, that's the problem. And this man was a teacher from another church. Folks, the Lord wants to give us a new heart. And He not only wants to give us a new heart, but He wants to open, and that veil was split, and the Holy Spirit came out to be for everyone in the world. It was able, it goes out to all. And now that veil has been split, and the blood of Jesus can be applied to our hearts. And we with boldness can come before the Lord and come before His presence and seek Him. I know that He's the great God of heaven. I know we don't come with brashness and that kind of boldness. But I will tell you, we come with assurance knowing that the blood of Jesus has been shed. It's for you and me. Folks, let's knock on that door. Jesus, or there in Revelation 3, and I believe 20, talks about, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. And He said He would sup with us. I want this morning, I hope, if we get anything, we can recognize that the blood of Jesus has bought us access into the holiest of holies. That place where the holy presence of the holy God dwells. Oh, Lord, speak to our hearts and teach us your ways. Bring us to know you. Bring us to see your face. Bring us to hear your voice. Help us to live in such a way that you can be well pleased with our life. What a contrast between having boldness to enter into the holiest presence of God and hiding and calling for rocks and mountains to fall on us. That's going to happen, folks. That day will come. Just as David and Ornan and those there saw that angel with his great sword out over Jerusalem, and they saw that and they feared and they trembled, you know they did, and they hid themselves. Oh, don't we know what a contrast between that and coming with boldness. What a contrast between looking forward to the day of our translating of our bodies, of our that time when the Lord comes back and we meet Him in peace. And He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The Lord help us each one today. I want to thank everyone for listening this morning. And this will conclude our service. You pray for the services here in Guthrie. We want to be a blessing roundabout. We're not able to meet right now as a full group. But maybe the Lord can use that to stretch out even farther than we have in the past. So let's pray for the current situation. Let's pray for our own souls, our own lives. Let's pray for those that are having troubles, for those that are sick. The Lord bless each one. Amen.